Welcome to part six of the 13 pillars, the sixth pillar of Yadus, the Yisod of Nevuah, of prophecy. As always, we're sponsored by Becky Navikatz, the Eli Nishmas, Yona Ben Rabbi Leib. Tonight's also my grandfather's yard site, where the Nishmas Rabbi Fry Michal Ben Zev Nechemia Levi, and Michael's mother also, Berta Bas Yehuda. So the Animamin that actually characterizes this Yisod is not entirely accurate. Animamin Buna Shlema Shakol Divrei Hanaviim Emes, that all the words of the prophets are true. Well, it's a true statement, it's a true proposition, but that's not quite the Yisod. The Yisod is not that the words of the prophets are true, but the existence of Nevuah. So the question is, what is Nevuah, what is prophecy, and why is it a Yisod? Now keep in mind that a Novi is a human being. He's a human being who works with a Seichel, but he has a different realm of knowledge. He has access to a different realm of knowledge in which he is able to recognize different aspects of Hashgacha completely at God's will. Let's see how the Rambam defines it in Yesod HaShishi. Hanevuah, v'hu sheyeda adam shezem min ha'adam yimotze b'hem balei tva'im imidos m'ulos v'zakos ma'od. Person should know that humanity contains individuals who are endowed with exceedingly fine and highly refined character traits. U'shleimos gedola, great perfection as well. V'nafshoseim nechonos achei mekablos Suras HaSeichel, and their souls are so prepared that they're able to receive the Suras HaSeichel, the form, Sura here in the philosophical sense, of the ideal form of the intellect. In English here it's translated as the vibrant intellect. Achar kein yidbak oso HaSeichel enoshi, baSeichel apoal. And then his intellect, the human intellect, becomes linked, joined with what's called the Sechel HaPol, the active intellect that stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'netzal mimenu olav atzilus nichbada, and from there emanates upon them, the Nevi'im, a noble spirit of divine inspiration. Well, of course, you have to understand that as best we can. Ve'elohem HaNevi'im, these are the prophets, v'zohi HaNevuah, and this is prophecy, v'zeh inyanah, and this is its essence. Uber Yisod Zal Burio Yerach Meod. Of course, explaining this clearly would require a lot of space. Then Kavanasena Lavi Mofes Al Kol Yisod Mehem Uber Mitzias Hasagoso. Rama says it's not his intention to prove each of these necessarily from their origin, from their most basic elements. Lufisha Zehu Klala Chochmos Kulon, because this includes all branches of wisdom. Avol Ezkerem Derech Sipur Bavad. He'll just relate it, he'll just mention it factually. Umikroya Torah Me'idim al Nevuas Nevi'im Harbe. And of course, many, many psukim in the Torah that testify to the authenticity of prophecy. The whole Torah is based on it, as a matter of fact. Now, according to the Rambam, based on the Gemara, everyone can be a Novi in potentia. Men, women, Jews, even non-Jews. Mar says, Megillah, Daf Yudala, Amud Aleph, number 3, Harbe Nevi'im, Amdu Lahem Yisrael. Jewish people had many, many prophets. Kiflayim, Kiyotzei Mitzrayim. Twice as many as Jews who left Egypt. 1.2 million. Ela Nevuah Shehutzricha L'doros, Nichtava. V'shelo Hutzricha, Lo Nichtava. If that's the case, why do we only have recorded the names, the works, the utterances of 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses? Because those prophecies that were needed for all generations, they were recorded. Those that were not needed for all generations, they were not recorded. So it comes out that Nevuah ended. Nevuah, classically, as we understand it, extended approximately a millennium. In fact, almost exactly a millennium. Ravos were Nevuos too, but let's say we start counting from Kabbalah Satorah, until Malachi is roughly 1,000 years. We had a millennium of prophecy. Why did it end? There's many reasons given why it ended, but in a sense, it didn't end, because if Nevuah Shehutzucha L'Doros Nichtava, if we have all the prophecies that we need, if all the prophecies that we need were recorded for posterity, then in fact we could open up a Navi, and invariably the critique the Navi gives of his generation is also applicable to our generation. That's why we read from the Nevi'im every Shabbos, because you'll never come across a Navi where he'll be relating a certain idea or rebuke and will say, that's not relevant to us anymore. No, they're all relevant to us. People don't change. So therefore, it's not that Nevuah ended, although it did, but rather we have what we needed. Of course, we assume that Nevuah will be reinstituted in Yemos HaMashiach. Of course, everyone can become a Navi, theoretically. Practically, we're about to limit it drastically. The Gemara says in the Dharma, the Chalam HaChesem and Aleph, number 4, Omer of Yochanan, Hein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Masha Shechinoso, Ela Al Gibor, V'Ashir, V'Chacham, V'Anov, V'Chula Mimoshe. All this we learn from Moshe, Navi, Mikirbucha, Me'achecha, Kamoni. It has to be someone like me. So Navi has to have these four qualities. It has to be Gibor, strong, a person of stature. But of course, Gibor means Kovesh as Yisro. He has to be in control of his passions. Ashir means he has to be wealthy, it's true, because otherwise society will scorn him. But he means he has to be Samech Bechelko. Whatever he has to be content with. A Chacham, of course, because the essential quality of the Navi is going to be his Chachma, his Seichel. That's the tool that he uses in order to gain Nevuah. And Anav, he has to be humble. Well, it's very hard for someone who is either a Gibor or an Ashir or a Chacham to be an Anav too. Now you understand why we only recorded the words of 48 plus 7. But nonetheless, it is possible that one can find himself in that slot. Question is, why is it a Yisod? Why is this? We understand that God wants to communicate with man, but why must that be a fundamental principle of Yadus? One of our pillars, that God does communicate with man. And there is a very good reason for it. Look at number 7. The Rambam discusses Nevuah in a few prakim in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. This is Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph. Miyesodei Hadas Leida Shokel Menabeis B'nei HaAdam. It's one of the fundamental principles of Yadus that God communicates his will to man. And Ein HaNevuah Chola El Al Chacham Gadol B'Chachma. Nevuah will only rest in a person who is exceedingly wise. Gibor b'midosav, he is heroic in his personal attributes. V'lo yehe yitzro mizgaber alav b'davar ba'olam, and his yitzar will never overwhelm him. Rather, hu mizgaber b'daitel yitzro tamid, but rather he prevails over his yitzar. Hu balder rechava nechona menod, he possesses a very deep and broad intellect. And his memula b'cholamido, so he's filled with all these characteristics. He shalim agufo, so when kishe ikanes the pardes, when he enters into the realm of metaphysical speculation. In other words, he enters a realm. This is really a key point, where he begins to attain knowledge in a way that other human beings do not, and that's what nevuah is. His access both to a realm of knowledge and to a mechanism of acquiring knowledge that non-Nevi'im do not have. When he enters into the Pardes and he's drawn after these great and profound things, he ponders these areas and he understands them and he's sanctified and he separates himself from the ways of the common man who walk in the darkness of the time. And he goes, and he trains himself so his thoughts do not wander to the nonsensical things that people concern themselves with, nor the inanities of the time, the stratagems. the amusements of people. Eladaito Pnuya Tomid Lamaila Pshua Tachas Hakise, Lavin Bosan Atsuras Hakadoshos Hatahoros, Umistaka Bechachmosos Shakarish Baruch Hu Hula Mitsuri Shona Tibor Aretz. Then when a person is freed from all the claptrap, all the things that clog our minds, that clutter our minds, then he's able to attach his intellect, tachas akise, to understand or to grasp clearly, mechachmosa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the ideal source of knowledge. Miyarek Ruch HaKadosh Shoralov, the Divine Spirit rests upon him immediately. Veisha tanuach alav aruach to serve nashav malas hamalachim and kramishim. And when that happens, he reaches a level of one of the groups of angels called ishim, a low-level type of malach. V'yafech l'shacher becomes a different person, becomes a different human being. We'll see. Most of the neviim were in trances; they were not fully in control of their bodies. The Yavin B'dayto Sheino Kemo Shehoya, he'll recognize he wasn't the same as he was before. El Shinis Ala Milas Sharbanei Adam Achachomim, he's elevated even above other wise people, as it says in connection with Sheol HaMelech, V'snabesa Imam, you'll prophesy with them, V'nefachtu L'shacher, and you'll become a completely different person entirely. Well, it's important for us to know that Hakel Menabeis B'nei Adam, that God communicates his will to man. Why is that important to know? And this is why it's a Yesod HaDas. Because that's the foundation of Maamar Har Sinai. Maamar Har Sinai depends on it. Shechar V'Onesh depends on it. The idea that God communicates to man is the very foundation of Yadus. So the greatest expression of that is Maamar Har Sinai. But in fact, a number of other Yesodos depend on it as well. If so, there must be a mechanism by which God conveys his will to man. Sinai was sui generis. Usually that mechanism will be nevuah, prophecy. Without nevuah, we're in the dark. We're in a terrifying world where events seem haphazard and random and frightening, and evil predominates. So there's a pipeline that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established to certain select individuals that enable them to receive a particular message that's of importance either to them or to their generation. Both the Kuzari, Rabbi Yosef Albo, agree and emphasize that at Sinai all Jews reach the level of Nevuah. So if you take those 600,000, they're given, and then you add another 600,000 over the generations. And that provides for us a reservoir of bitachon for all generations. Look at number 12, the back page. I cited here the Malbim on the pasuk in at the end of Yisra. Vayom Moshel Aom, Al Tiro, don't be afraid. Kilev Avur Nasos Hashem Bar Elokim, that God has come to test you. So the Malbim says, Ratzalomar, Mashe Bar Elokim Baatzmo, the fact that God came Himself and spoke the Dibros to you, panim el panim, face to face. Hagam sheyada she'ein atem muchanim oza, even though he knew you weren't ready for it, that itself was a nisayon. The nisayon, the test, the trial, im tuchlu lekabel adibur mimenu ba'atzma, if you'll be able to accept hearing it directly from him. And the Malbim explains that he already described in the parsha of the Akedah that the Nisayon is really for the person being tested, the testee, not for God, not for the tester, and for the onlookers as well, like Ramban said. I'm sorry, if I remember correctly, Ramban says it's for the person being tested, and it's for the Rambam. The Rambam says the Tzarech HaRoam for others. Shagam Shashem Yeda Ha'emes Ha'yitzarech Lasos Nisayon Zabishvulchem, even though God knows the truth and knows the outcome, it had to be done for us and for others as well. Achashatem hikshesen l'shol shita lechem kol ha-Torah ba'atzma, since the people demanded that they receive the Torah from God. And the Rambam continues, shim neshu osid l'nasas v'shem basid aydei sheyamdu nevi sheker, since God will test us in the future with false prophets, v'yirtu levatel z'divrei ha-Torah v'yin osim ofeis, we'll discuss in a few moments, there is an institution of the false prophet who even does wonders and miracles, and the Torah will say, "Ki minaseh Hashem Elokeichem eschem l'das hayishchem olvinas Hashem." The Torah tests us to see whether we'll follow the Novi Sheker, who does a miracle, a magic trick, and then tells the Jews to violate Avodah Zarah or to vitiate some other mitzvah. Vayideisha shamu dibros matan Torah mepikadosh baruch hu be'atzmo v'shamu she'osa es Moshe shaliach l'seis lahem Torah se'elokim me'atah kol Novi she'yamu levatel Torah Moshe yedu shehu Novi Sheker. Maimed Har Sinai, this grand nevuah to Klal Yisrael was important for their future, not just the present of receiving the Torah, for the future. There are no shortage of mystics and shaman, so therefore in the future some will come along and he'll do a mofes, and then people will say, well, let's follow him now because there are a lot of mosim at Sinai too. No. At Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chvodu V'atzmo, we heard from him, and the point was, in order to nullify anyone who would come later and who would say that the Torah has changed. So in fact, that is why it's a yesod, and a critical yesod, that God not only speaks to man, but that at Sinai, God spoke to Klal Yisrael. That is the very foundation of the Torah. All right, so who gets to be a prophet and who doesn't? Any volunteers? Unfortunately, it's not up to us. So the Torah says, let's look at number 6, the parsha of the Navi. It's in Dvarim Perek Yutches. Right after the Torah disparages the Me'onanim and the Kosmim, the soothsayers and others, we should be wholehearted with God. A Navi will arise from midst your brethren like me, Moshe says. A love tishma'un. You have to listen to him. A love tishma'un is the mitzvah. It's also not to listen to a Navi, and it's not a simple thing. We'll discuss next time that the seventh yesod is the nevuah of Moshe. The fact that Moshe was a prophet and had a distinct form of prophecy unknown to the others is his own yesod. Why that is, we'll see. But there is no other prophet, or there was no other prophet in Israel who was verified the way Moshe was. Like the Torah says in Yisro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the miracles at Sinai so that they should believe God. V'gam b'choya aminu le'olam. They'll believe in Moshe as well. Other Nevi'im we have to take more or less on faith, and that's the mitzvah, Elov Tishmon. K'chol asher sha'altim Hashem alakecha b'chorei v'yom akol le'mor. Just like you asked then and said, lo seif l'shmos kol Hashem alakoy v'seish agdola zos lo'ero v'lo'omus. They became frightened hearing the word directly from God. V'yom Hashem elai heitiv asher diber. Alright, they're correct. They spoke well. They don't want to hear directly from me. Now that you've been established, by extension, all Nevi'im, or presumably all Nevi'im will be verified as well. Novia Kim Lohem Mikar Vachem Kamocha Vinasati Dvarai Befiv Vidiberalehem Eiskola Sharatsavenu. I will put a word, a message in his mouth, and he will speak to you what I've commanded him. The person who does not want to listen to the Navi, so God will look into that. Conversely, the Navi who speaks in my name and says something I did not command him to say, or he speaks in the name of other gods, that's not the Navi Sheker, by the way. Navi Sheker is different. This is a Navi who is a shakron, but he's a Navi of Avodah Zarah, the Nevi'ei Baal. Here's the kicker. How we know who's honest, who's dishonest, who's verified, who's unverified? doesn't come with a card or professional credentials. Asher yidaber, so the Torah gives us a test. Asher yidaber anavi b'shem Hashem v'lo yadavar v'lo yavo. If a Navi says something in God's name and it doesn't happen, doesn't come to pass, hu adavar asher lo dibro Hashem. That means that God did not say it. B'zadon dibro hanavi lo sagur mimenu. That Navi spoke b'mezid, willfully, something that was not correct. You should have no fear for him. Well, that's a good guideline, but that itself is not absolute. We know from the story of Yonah. The limitation on the words of the Nevi'im is that a nevuah of Koronos, a prediction of some disaster, calamity to befall the people, may not happen. May not happen because the people could do tshuva. A prophecy of something good will happen, but a prophecy of a calamity need not happen. That was Yonah's complaint. Yonah fled and did not want to fulfill his mission, not only because it reflected poorly on Klal Yisrael, that's also true, but because if he predicts disaster for Nineveh and it does not come to pass, people may not conclude it's because of tshuva. They may conclude it's because nevuah is bogus. The whole institution is not real. And that's what he wanted to avoid. So nevuah really was a continuation of Sinai. Someone now who has access to the Sechel HaPoal, the active intellect, just like at Sinai we all did. See, we have to listen to a verified Navi. Navi is verified through an oath and through a prediction. Although, in fact, it's not essential that he make a prediction. That's how most of the world, especially the non-Jewish world, understands Nevuah, the man of predictions. That's not how we understand it. Look at number 10. Flip side, in Perek Tes, Halacha Beis, of Hilchos Yisori HaTorah, in Kein Loma Nemar B'Torah, Navi Akim Lohem Mikerv Acheihem Kamocho. Navi comes lo lasos dasu, but doesn't come to innovate anything in Jewish life. El Tzavos El Dibri HaTorah, to command us regarding an area of Torah in which we are perhaps lax. Ul Hazhir Ha'am Shelo Yavru Aleha, and to admonish the people not to violate it, as you found with the last Navi, Malachi Zichru Taras Moshe Avdi, V'chein Tzivana B'divrei Rishus, Kigon, L'chulam Akamponi, O Al Telchu, so too for commanded, not regarding a mitzvah, but some optional, usually political matter, go here, don't go there, Asu Milchamayom, O Al Tasu, wage war today, don't wage war, build this wall, don't build this wall, also mitzvah l'shma lo. In other words, a love tishmaun doesn't only apply to mitzvos. Once the Navi is verified, the Navi MS, it applies to everything the Navi has to say. And because the Navi becomes a conduit for God's message to us, in Halacha Gimel the Rambam says, the Navi who violates Shavar al-Divrei Atzmo, Bakovesh Nevuoso, meaning he doesn't, he either suppresses his Nevuah, or he breaches his own nevuah to his chayv misa bidei shamayim. Okay. There are many other aspects and details of nevuah, harasha, things like that we need not get into, because I want to focus on what really is the essence, and that is the nature of nevuah itself. Look at the top of that page, number 13, the functions of nevuah. Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin. Hanavi efshar shetiyeh nevuaso la'atzmo bilvad. Vachiv libo l'suf daito. It's possible that a nevuah come to a Navi just for his sake. Not for the people. For his own sake. To broaden his intellect, to add to his corpus of knowledge. Hacheyeda mashalo hoya yodea me'osan advar magadolim. To inform him of areas, great, lofty areas that he may not have known before. Vefshar Yeshulach la'om me'ame oretz la'anshayir mamlocha, or he could be sent to a land, a city, a kingdom, with choneno some, straighten them out, el die mayasu, alumonami maisim arom shabideim, tell them what to do, what not to do. Ukshemashalten an oso, nosnolos mosu mofes, kedesha yedu ha'om she'akel shulacho be'emes. When he's sent to someone else, then he's given a miracle, a wonder, as a calling card. So they'll be drawn to the miracle and listen to what he has to say. But v'lo kol ha'osa osa mofes mamina moshu navi. Not everybody who does tricks signs and wonders is necessarily a prophet. Hello, Adam Shahinu Yodimbo Mitchila Soshu Roylanavua Bechachmasu Maisav Shinis Alabem Al Kobine Gilo. But if it's someone whom we recognize, we know he's fit for prophecy because of his wisdom and his good deeds that exalt him over his peers. And he lives the life of a Navi, think Elisha Navi, the Kaddish and a Parush. Then he does a miracle, and he says, Hakel Shalacho, Mitzvah L'Shema Mimenu, Eilav Tishmon. But, Efsha Shiyasa Osum Ofeis, the Eino Navi, V'Zeus, Yeshot Barn Bego. It's possible for someone to do a miracle and a wonder, and he's not a prophet. And there's something to what he's doing, but it's not for the purpose of Nevuah. Alright? Nonetheless, mitzvah l'shmo'alo, it's still a mitzvah to listen to the person. Hoyel v'adam gadol v'chacham v'roi v'nevuahu, ma'midim asa achezkasa. Person comes with a wonder, a sign, and tells us to do a mitzvah. Even if we don't know him, we listen to him. Of course, he tells not to do a mitzvah. That's the Navi Sheka that we reject. Shebekachlit stavino, that's a gzeres hakasuv already. Kemoshin et stavino lachtoches adin al pishrayim eidim ksheirim. Even though after she heidu b'sheker, we always listen to the testimony of two eidim, even though it's possible, two eidim ksheirim. You know, it's possible that they are false. But that's the system that we have. So too, someone comes with an osu mofes and tells us to do tshuva, we always assume he's a Navi, even if he may not necessarily be. Ubedvar ma'elu b'kayotze ben nema ha'nistas Hashem elokeinu, v'niglos lono uvoneinu adolam, that is what we're taught. So in fact, a Navi can come, a Nevuah can come for two reasons. Either for the individual, to broaden his own knowledge, or to convey a message to others. Are there different levels of Nevuah? I gave that away already, because you see, Moshe was on his own level, but in fact, every Navi was on his own level. Look at number 8, back on the first page, Halacha Beis and Perek Zayin, Hanaviim, Milos Milos Zayin. The Naviim had different degrees, different gradations, like everything in life, whether it's in intellectual matters or sports. Just like the people, one is wise than the other, so too, one is a greater Navi than the other. And all the Nevi'im only see their prophecies in a vision, a dream of the night, or, like you saw by Avram, or they'll fall into a deep sleep. Those are the typical Nevuos. Moshe is different. For them, the other Nevi'im, it's Bimaro Elav Esvado, Bachaloma Dabrabo, as opposed to Moshe, who is Panim El Panim. V'chulam Kishem Isnam in Evoreim Mizdazin, V'kachaguf Koshel, V'shenoseim Mistarfos, and all these other prophets, aside from Moshe, when they receive a prophecy, their bodies shake, and their physical faculties tremble, they lose control of them. It's as if the powers of the guf are negated, or at least exceedingly minimized, so the powers of the intellect are enhanced. By the way, the greatest Nevu of all was Moshe on Har Sinai. 40 days, 40 nights. Lechem Ochalti, Mayim Lo Shasisi. He didn't need the powers of the goof. Dalid, Kol Anaviyim, Mein Yisnabim, Bechol Eishe Yirtzu, Mechavim, Daitam, Yoshim, Smechim, Etovei Lev, and Misbodedim. Nevi'im could not prophesy every time they wanted, or could not receive prophecies. Rather, they'd prepare their minds. They'd sit with a joyous spirit. Shana Nevu'a Shor, Lomitoch Hatzus, Lomitoch Hatzus, Lomitoch Simcha. Nevu'a can only rest on a person, not when he's sad, not when he's lazy, only when he's joyous. L'fichach b'nei Nevi'im l'fnei'em. Novo v'tov v'chalil v'kinor v'mevakshim Nevu'a. They would use music to arouse themselves to the state of Nevu'a, but at the end of the day, it's not up to any person. Halacha hei, Eilu shehei mevakshim l'snabei, those people who prepared themselves in this way, they were the ones that the Navi refers to as the Bnei HaNaviim, the children of the prophets. It's not that they were children of the prophets, it's that they were aspirants to Nevuah. even though they prepared themselves for it and they developed their intellects, that decision, who is and who isn't the Navi, that's God's alone. Yet a person has a greater intellectual level, for whatever reason, we don't know, Chochmas Hashem, God chooses someone else to be a Navi. What about, yes?
So we don't see this,
No, at the moment of Nevuah, they did. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says Yonah's prophecy about Nineveh came to him on the Regel. See, he was Sameach, he was in the Beis HaMikdash, Sukkos. That's when he got his Nevuah. That might not be a Nevuah in the sense of a Navi. There he became just a creature of Ashgacha. But you're right. In the as a creature of Ashgacha, he was saved inside the fish. And then indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him to reinforce the Nevuah. But it means in a general sense. Obviously, if Yechezkel is prophesying about the Churban, it doesn't necessarily mean he's jumping for joy. But the Navi has to be in a state, a ready state, and then it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bear in mind, of course, if it's a particular message that has to be conveyed, especially one that's somewhat foreboding, then he may not be Sameach, but that's already God's will. He has to send a message to his Navi. By the way, it also means that to pre-qualify for the Nevuah, someone has to be in a state of Simcha. Like, to pre-qualify for Nevuah, it has to take place in Eretz Yisrael. But once you're pre-qualified, so to speak, then you could have a Nevuah even outside Eretz Yisrael, as in Yonah's case or Yechezkel's case. Yes, the question is, if the Navi gives advice, political advice, and doesn't preface it, Kol Amar Hashem, do you have to listen? And the answer is yes. Because anything that he applies his chokhmah to, Elof Tishmon. And we'll see what happens, we'll discuss in just a few moments how the Navi's mind changes and from where he derives this information. But once it does change, you're indeed correct. There's a chiyuv to listen to the Navi, even if what he's saying is not a direct command or a message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but simply by virtue of the status that he has and the wisdom that he's gained, the insight into Ashgacha that he's gained, Elof Tishmon in any sense. Look at the Navi Sheker in number 5. It's in Perek Gimel in Zoram, Ki Yakum B'Kirvacha Navi, O Chalem Chalom, and Asanu Eilecha Osam Ofeis, Uvo Osam Ofeis, Asher Yibrelecha Leimor, Nielcho Acher Elim Acherim, Asher Lo Yedatem, Menavdeim. Navi from within you comes, or dreamer comes, brings his sign, brings his wonder. And then he says, let's worship idols. Lo Tishmael Dibre Navi Yahu. Don't listen to him, don't listen to the dreamer. Ki minaseh Hashem Elokeichem Eschem. Wadaseh Yishchem O'avim Es Hashem Elokeichem B'chol Luvachem V'chol Nafshechem. That's a test. It has to be a test. Otherwise the question is, how does he do the oath? How does he do the mofes? But you see, historically there are people who put just in that position to test us. Rashi clarifies, an oath is Bashamayim. Something will happen in the heavens. He's able to do some shtick that the heavens appear different. A mofes is aretz, it's near to us. So you could say the heavens, yeah, it's a visual trick. When it's closer to you, you think it's more verifiable by us. No, afal pi chein lo tishmael lo. Even though it's near to us, we see it, we can't explain it, still don't listen to him. Vim tomar, mipnei manosein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mem shalo lasos aos. So why does God give him dominion to perform this miracle? Ki minasa Hashem lakechem eschem. Because that's the test that God is giving us. It's a very big test. It's a test I would suggest that we regularly fail, even today, because people are enamored with magicians and with, especially in our world today, with prognosticators, with predictors of the future. People seek them out, even though that itself is either a borderline violation of Torah or an actual violation of Torah. Rav Dessler here, the fourth chalik of Michtam Elio, is a very, very insightful analysis of these areas. And he says that we see from Nevuah and generally from the world, but Nevuah's part, Nevuah's the exalted aspect of this dimension, there's a realm of knowledge that comes to us not through the Moach, that comes to us not through intellects. There's such a realm of knowledge in existence. He gives a raya, the Gemara that says, a fetus is taught the Torah. So obviously a fetus is taught to the Torah, not the way we learn Torah. That's another dimension in existence. While alive in this world, most of us, in fact these days all of us, I should say most of us, only access that knowledge through the Moach, through the Guf. Rav Dessler said there's a realm beyond the Guf, what's known today as telepathy. Telepathy means a means of conveying information that doesn't really have a verification that's part of the understanding that we have of the universe. And that kind of communication, that kind of wisdom, produces a greater koach hadimyon, a greater imaginative faculty. So Rav Dessler said that might exist, but it's kishuf and prohibited to Jews. We live in a world that's bounded by Sinai. We acquire knowledge through our intellects, through our senses. That's the koach hatumah that you find Chazal referred to on a number of occasions. Our task is not to separate the nefesh from the guf, but in fact to sanctify the nefesh and the guf together. If they're separate, they're problems. If the nefesh is separate from the guf, it's tumas meis. If the guf becomes separate from the nefesh, the person's a behema altogether. So we access all of our knowledge through kedusha, through holiness, purity, tikkun amidos, developing moral attributes, tahara. Of course, it's much easier to believe in a mystic. That's why, even Rav Dessler said such a thing can exist, it's forbidden to Jews, but the attraction is intense. Because once we, if all we do is accept that we live in a world where I understand as much as the next guy, maybe he's a little brighter than me, then it doesn't give me as much comfort as being in the presence of someone who has access to information that's beyond the Moach, beyond the realms of which ordinary mortals operate. So therefore, there's an attraction, and that attraction nonetheless is Osur, because of Tamim Tiyan Hashem Elokecha, but it's very popular. Yeah?
Would that person actually believe that Rebbeim have a certain power? Would they beyond...
Right. What about the Hasidim who believe that in their rabbis?
Right.
I mean, I don't know how much I want to say, but that's part of the issue. I don't want to say no one can have Ruach HaKodesh today, but it's hard to say Ruach HaKodesh is hereditary from one generation to the next. So part of that might come from the desire, the very intense desire to gain an edge in the world by being able to access information that no one else can, by positing someone has this type of ability. So it's very comforting. It doesn't always work out, but it is comforting to the people who seek it. But most Jews, I should say all Jews, are told to live in reality. Reality is that we live in a world of the intellect, the world of the senses, a world where bad things happen, where good things happen, a world that's given to us with our bechira to shape, both personally and nationally. But that's, to quote Donald Rumsfeld, that's the long, hard slog. And it's not as enticing to people as the shortcut.
Is it possible that there are people in this world?
It is possible. Rav Dessler says it's possible, but it's asur. Now you're saying in that particular case, it's possible, I don't know if you mentioned it directly, is it possible, I wouldn't know, I don't know how anyone else would know either. Now, I think we discussed a few weeks ago about the intercession aspect. It's a similar thing. By the way, that's one reason why the Rambam's Yesodos are controversial in certain circles, because they defy what's become a part of Jewish life. Now, whether that's the Rambam's problem or our problem, You know, that's arguable. I would suggest that it's our problem, it's not his problem, but who am I to say? The fact is, it is comforting to people as long as it works. When it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I'm sure the Hasidic Rebbeim will have money on the New Jersey Nets every night because they think it's it'll help. Yes? Right. Yes, that's correct. We wouldn't say that anyone today has nevuah. I would say, though, even about the Rebbeim issue that you mentioned, the fact is people can have intellectual abilities that exceed others. Some could have intellectual abilities that so far exceed others that it seems otherworldly, but really it's just more perfected, so their analytical skills are greater. But again, that won't be hereditary. That has to be individually based. In such a thing you would see, you would notice it. You'd be able to ascertain that that person possesses keen insights. But keen insights are world apart from mystical insights. Keen insights mean that a person uses his intellectual rigor in order to make his determinations, make his conclusions. He investigates the facts, and then he does what his chachma tells him to do. That's a different process. That could be many of the rabbis use that process. But you're right, when you speak about the miracle workers, etc., in that genre at least, they're not using that process. So a declaration from the Matzah Gedola HaTorah, it's not Nevuah, that's true, but there's more to Torah than Nevuah. There you're talking about Lo Sasur. So when you say Lo Sasur, Lo Sasur...
Not a religious
matter, but a political matter. I mean, that's a Torah
issue.
You mean a political matter? Vote for this person or do this? Yeah, it would often represent the expression of their profound wisdom. It doesn't mean it's going to be right. Sometimes it's wrong too. They make some mistakes also.
In terms of
an
obligation to follow a law, not
that. A law? I mean, a halacha? Well, no, it depends on the issue. If you're going to say, let's say there's a proclamation about a certain area, it depends. It's a halachic matter. You have to listen. That's what's asur. It's a different matter if it's the gray areas also, all right? Or you go to college, don't go to college. It's a gray area. It's not the black and white. Obviously, you had many giants who studied secular subjects and prospered. So that's some things are said as a siog also, not because the essential halacha is like that. So you have to know, as you say, l'charav, you have to know both the questioner, you have to know who's giving the answer, you have to know why they're giving the answer, the parameters of the answer. Usually the proclamations of any group will be general enough that it's hard for an individual to gain specific guidance. And by that I mean you'll find quite often that a proclamation will go out, but it doesn't apply to you or to you, okay? Like, for example, there are parts of our world today, just to use the example I mentioned a few moments ago, where they'll frown on college, and they'll say that those who've gone to college are polluted and unfit for any public role in Jewish life. But they have their doctors and lawyers whom they honor as well, who are also rabbanim, whom they consult, and they revere. So sometimes you get into a situation where the proclamations apply to the rove, and a person of exceptional caliber is distinguished from the rove, and he can do it. But then again, that's not halacha anymore. That becomes a subjective analysis that reflects their wisdom. All right? In that case, They could very well be right, but it doesn't mean it's binding on anybody. Certainly not anyone outside their orbit. But distinguish between Nevuah, which is a message from God, and Torah. And by the way, I should say, maybe you're thinking of this, there are people who maintain that a proclamation, an edict, is tantamount to a Nevuah. But they are on very shaky ground when they say such things. So in fact, the sad thing is a person, getting back to our point here, a person can think that he is holy, and in fact be an Oved Avodah Zarah, because he's involved in something which is idolatrous, which accesses a realm of pseudo-knowledge that's not really part of normative Torah life. If you turn the page with the number 9, it's Parakas Halacha Gimel of the Hilchos Asariah Teram. It says, "V'fichach imama hanavi v'osa osas u'mosim gadol b'geis l'hakrish nevosa shal Moshe Rabbeinu ein shomen lo." The point that the Malbim made earlier. The Navi gets up and does all his great miracles and denies something that Moshe said or did, we don't listen to him. And once he says that, "V'anu yodim be'ur she'osan ha'osos balot v'kishuvheim," we know those signs were just witchcraft. We know those signs were just witchcraft and magic. Now, why does it exist and how does it exist? So just look briefly for a few moments. First, Reb Sajagon in Emunos Vedeos, this Treatise 3, Chapter 3. He says, "Now that I've expressed myself in this summary fashion about the two general divisions of the precepts of Torah, the rational, the revealed, the mitzvahs, sichlios and shimios, the rational mitzvahs and those revealed. Rational means we can come to them on our own, not to kill, not to steal. Revealed, kashrus, etc., Shabbos. It behooves me to explain why there should have been need for divine messengers and prophets. I've heard that there are people who say that men have no need for such messengers because their reason is enough of a guide for them to distinguish between good and evil. I therefore went back to the touchstone of truth, and I noted that if the matter were really as they said it was, the Creator would have known it best. He would not have sent any messengers to mankind." A Navi, by the way, is someone who's maybe something. He brings something. He's a messenger, brings the Niv, the message. "Since he does nothing that has no purpose. Then I pondered the matter deeply, and I found that there was considerable need for the dispatch of messengers to God's creatures. Not merely in order that they may be informed about by them about the revealed laws, but also on account of the rational precepts. For these latter two are carried out practically only when there are messengers to instruct men concerning them." What's he talking about? Something we're very familiar with. We think that laws like not to kill, not to steal, are obvious. You could learn them on your own. You don't need the Torah. You don't need God to tell you. The fact is, there are cases where it's not so. And every one of those realms has such a case. You take abortion, for example. Is it killing? Is it not killing? Well, that's not so simple anymore. So you say, don't kill. Is euthanasia killing? It's not killing. Halacha says something about this. But you wouldn't necessarily say it's so rational that it defies argument. There are many societies in the past where they abhorred the homicide, but they thought nothing of infanticide or euthanasia. Nothing at all, because to them that wasn't considered a life that was worth saving. So Rasaja says, very powerful point, even the mitzvahs that we say, sichlios, we think we could come to them via our own seichel, it's not entirely true. Even they need messengers. Now, he understands him, Navi, to be, Chazal were Nevi'im in that sense. Maybe that's what Michael's referring to it. Because they're bringing messages. And the message that they brought, whether it's about Tfilo or Ksubo or Kinyan or anything else, those are also Nevi'im. But he continues, I ran out of space, but he continues in the next chapter, chapter 4, to say that there are special messengers called Nevi'im who bring messages to the Jewish people, but their humanity remains intact. Listen, I quote, "Thus also did God not guarantee to the prophets perpetual health of body, or great wealth, or posterity, or protection from the violence of the violent, whether that violence consists of flogging or insults or murder. For if he, God, had done that, men might have ascribed this fact to some peculiarity in the constitution of the prophets." He spoke good English, Rav Sacher Gaon. Wherein they deviated from the rules applying to all other men. They would have said that just as the prophets necessarily deviated from the character of the rest of humanity in this respect, so too is a foregone conclusion they'd be able to do what we cannot. What he's saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu preserved the humanity, the frailty of the Nevi'im. So people should not think that a Navi is someone who's completely different, almost godly, almost unhuman. It's not so. He's very human. Yeshayahu HaNavi, killed. Yirmiyahu, persecuted, hounded out of Eretz Yisrael, had to flee to Egypt. So the fact of the Nevi'im were subject to the violence of their contemporaries. Eliyahu had to flee to the Midbar. They were subject to the persecution of their contemporaries shows that a human being can achieve this level of greatness. Let's just briefly look at what the experience is. Turn to the Morah first in number 2. I'm sorry, number 11. It's part 2, chapter 36. Prophecy is, in truth and reality, an emanation sent forth by the divine being through the medium of the active intellect, in the first instance to man's rational faculty, and then to his imaginative faculty. It is the highest degree and greatest perfection man can attain. It consists in the most perfect development of the imaginative faculty. Now, I don't think we can fully understand it, but let's at least describe it and ponder it for a moment. We spoke before about the Po'al HaSeichel, the active intellect that stems min HaShemayim, that's the source of all wisdom, and so to speak, to put it in our terms, a pipeline that exists from that active intellect to his chosen servants, that knowledge emanates from the Po'al HaSeichel to, in the first instance, man's rational faculty, meaning the faculty that we use to understand ideas, to grasp facts, all right? And then to his imaginative faculty. And it's in the imaginative faculty, the Koach HaDimyon, that the Nevuah takes shape. It takes a certain form that's unique to every Navi. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, it's Peites, that there are no two Nevi'im who are mishtamshim b'signon echad, with one style. Every Navi has his own style. Why? They saw things differently. Yeshayahu, Yechezkel saw the same vision, but it came out completely differently. Every Navi is like that. It's because each human being's imaginative faculty, the Koach HaDimyon, differs one from the other. No two people have the same dreams. It's unique to the person. So the way we assimilate facts and then interpret those facts in the Koach HaDimyon is going to change. But that's the nature of the Nevuah. A person reaches a level of intellectual, moral greatness, and he's in a state of simcha, and he yearns for it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows these messages upon him, for most people, for everyone, aside from Moshe, in a vision, where the vision takes a form that's a reflection somewhat of the personality of the Navi himself. The rule of thumb that we have is the more vivid the imagery, the lower level of the Navi. Yechezkel had very vivid images. The Haftarah of the Ma'aseh Merkava we read on Shavuos morning. Very vivid. He's held to be a lower level Navi. The greatest Navi, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu, reported nothing. We have no testimony what Moshe witnessed on the mountain. Why? Because his imaginative faculty and his rational faculty almost merged, almost the same, so he just absorbed pure knowledge. Look at 15, chapter 37, in part 2 of the Mora. It is necessary to consider the nature of the divine influence which enables us to think and gives us the various degrees of intelligence. For this influence may reach a person only in a small measure, and exactly the same proportion would then be his intellectual condition, while it may reach another person in such a measure that in addition to his own perfection, he can be the means of perfection for others. The same relation may be observed throughout the whole universe. There's some beings so perfect, they can govern other beings. There are also beings that are only perfect insofar as they can govern themselves and cannot influence other beings. And of course, there's some beings can't govern themselves, as we well know. In some cases, the influence of the active intellect reaches only the logical and not the imaginative faculty, either on account of the insufficiency of that influence or on account of the defect in the constitution of the matter faculty and the subsequent inability of the latter to receive that influence. This is the condition of wise men or philosophers, but not Nevi'im. In Nevi'im, the idea from God is transmitted through the koch ha-seichel, the rational intellect, rational faculty, the koch ha-dimyon, to the imaginative faculty, and that is the case of the prophets. Oh, here. If, however, the imaginative faculty is naturally in the most perfect condition, this influence may, as has been explained by us and other philosophers, reach both his logical and his imaginative faculties. This is the case with the prophets. Rabbi Yosef Albo, in the Sefer Karm Parches, says a similar thing. Not for the whole thing, but Hashefa Loki Azesha Marnu Shu Hechrechi Shimsa Kadesha Al Yodo Yodo Hadvorim Hanirtsim Eitz Hashem Yisbarach Mehabilti Nirtsim. We understand, the Navi understands, ideas that come from God. He knows things that are desirable, meaning the message itself, and he's able to filter out that which is not desirable, not on point. Einenu b'chol ka'odom sheyasig ha'shefa hu me'atzmo mizulas ratzon Eloki. Of course, no human being has the ability to do that, to gain from that influence, but for God's will. So without nevuah, there cannot be any Torah ben Hashamayim. It's interesting that Torah ben Hashamayim, which is to us the sine qua non of the Jew, the notion that God gave us the Torah from heaven, that's not one of the Yesodos of the Rambam. That's not one of the 13 pillars. We'll revisit it again. We speak about Torah ben Hashamayim, but not that God gave the Torah at Sinai, which is an event, but that all the details of the Torah, that really becomes the Yesod of Torah ben Hashamayim. All the details, the point that Korach denied, that's ben Hashamayim. But the base of Torah ben Hashamayim really is Nevuah. Among the Apikorsim, therefore, this is a very important Yesod to deny, to renounce. There are many people in our world, especially the last 200 years, and Christians too, who look at a prophet as not someone who conveys God's message, but as a visionary, a seer, someone who has a lofty, idealistic vision of what mankind can be. The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and the tenement halls. But that's not the message coming from Hashem. That's a visionary, someone who has an outlook on society, whatever they're talking about, I have no idea, but an outlook on society. But in that sense, the word prophet became debased, because that's not the Navi as we understand it. That is knowledge or insight that comes to a person without divine initiative. And that was, of course, one of the great renunciations of the Reform movement. What that did was divorce God from man and emptied Yadus of its spiritual significance. That's why it's Yesod. Today, by the way, without Nevi'im, we can still isolate that part of our nature that is in line with the Chochmas Hashem. How do we do that? We develop that part of our minds through Talmud Torah. That's what the Gemara says, Chocham Adif Mi Navi. The Chacham is preferred to the Navi, because the Chacham has exposure to every area of Torah if only he enhances his intellect. We acknowledge this, of course, as basic Yesod every Shabbos. After Kriyas HaTorah, we read from the Haftorah, Asher Bachar Benviim Tovim, V'Ratzav Edivreihem, HaNe'emarim Be'emes. This is the Yesod of Nevuah. Okay, I thank you all, V'Olam HaZihim, very much. We resume in 2 weeks. Looking at the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu, perfect in time for Parsha Shmos and the birth of Moshe. So look at that in 2 weeks' time. Thank you.